about.
Wake up, wake up, who you gonna choose? Wake up, who you gonna choose? Don't you know there's no time to lose?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I believe in many ways rape is wrong. I believe when possible you should always avoid raping people. If you leave the show this evening and you're thinking about raping someone, Jim Jefferies says no.
Wow. That boy.
I don't know where you are, kid, but you're incredible.
And now.
It's like when something sounds funny, but it isn't funny.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Wednesday, the 3rd of August.
What's up, you guys?
You know.
No. Oh. Tell me. Tell me.
We thought you knew. Sorry.
Yeah, I thought everyone did.
Was there a meeting? Did I miss a meeting?
Well.
Has it already been explained?
I mean.
Am I late
to the party?
We'll tell you later.
Wow, I don't like the sounds of that.
Yeah, it's not great.
So,
are you buffing your floors today?
What's going on already?
Hang on a second. Well,
what is that? Yeah, what's that?
I think that might be outside. I'll check. I'll check right after the segment.
This is right. Unbelievable.
This is unreal.
By the way.
But I love that he has to take off his headphone to hear it.
No, I didn't. I just needed people to not talk so I can hear it.
This
is exactly like yesterday with the smoke detector where it was dead quiet in here until, like that noise hasn't been going on all morning. Literally, it just started as we went on the air. I don't know why there must be some people somewhere who are looking at their watches and they're going, all right, 7:30, guys, crank it up. Thanks for being quiet, but not anymore.
Why do some people tune out?
See, now it seems to have faded out. I think it was something going by outside.
All right.
Nope.
There it is.
It's like they got that big round circular thing and they're buffing the floors.
Yes. Your arms start to itch.
Whatever it is, it's not. There's no one
too
inside.
Much,
there's no one in the house right now.
So your arms itch?
Because it's vibrating, your arm, like the circulation kicks in. And
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, your nerves get all tingly when you're using one of those things. Yeah,
Bean
I know.
Bean knows.
What you're about.
Sure.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, that does sound good. It's not at all distracting.
Yeah. No, it's good. I like it. I'm a fan.
Forgive me for not getting to this story last month when it happened. I had this in the file, and then I lost track of it, and I meant to do it, and I didn't. So if you're going to go look on your own to see the story, this happened last month.
Asshole.
I love it so much. His name is Adam Armstrong. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we did talk about it. I'm just not remember. But his name is Adam Armstrong, and he was flying with his girlfriend to Ibiza. Okay. His girlfriend's father decided to surprise the couple. I don't know why. It's a very nice thing to do. And bought plane tickets for them to go from England to Ibiza.
Stop saying that.
And for whatever reason, he got the boy's name off of his Facebook profile and bought the tickets under that name. Well, the boy, whose name is Adam Armstrong, was being clever and on his Facebook page, he put his name as Adam West because he thought it would be funny, and he's a big Batman fan.
Right.
All right, so now he's got himself a plane ticket for Ryanair, which is a no-frills, super cheap airline in Europe. Unfortunately, it's not in his name. His name is Armstrong. Again, the ticket is under the name of West. Now, Ryanair is one of those – when I say no frills, I mean they charge you for everything. You can go cheap, 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 but you better not ask the airline to do anything. They charge you $23 if they have to print out your boarding pass. They charge
$23.
Right. In other words, they're saying, hey, print it out at home before you come or put it on your phone. $46 to check a bag. So it's that type of thing. So he found out that it would cost $337 in administration fees to get his name corrected on this ticket. And he said, look, I'm not trying to change a passenger. I'm not trying to change the date. My girlfriend's father bought it under the wrong name. Here's my ID. This is me. And they said $337. And the reason they do that, by the way, is because they are such a cheap airline. They don't want people going out and buying all the seats and then scalping them.
Okay.
Right? Selling them to somebody else with a different name. They want to make, that's why they do it. They're trying to stop that. So at least that makes sense why they want to make it difficult for you. But in this case, the guy had a pretty reasonable story. It seems like they could have helped him. So what did he do, do you think?
Got a new ID named Adam West.
I'm going to say legally changed his name.
He legally changed his name. He said, I'm not going to give Ryanair a penny.
Oh, my God.
Now, apparently, in England, they have something called a deed poll that you can use for free. You can legally change your name. Why? Well, that's not a Bill thing.
Sure.
It's a deed poll.
Yeah, it is.
That's what you call it.
You can legally change your name free in England. I feel like it's expensive in America to change your name, I think.
Yeah, I don't. I've never tried.
So neither have I.
I don't know.
So he changes his name.
Count Smokula, I'm really thinking about.
Kevin, you would be an outstanding Count Smokula. So he changes his name to Adam West, and then he pays the $158 to get a new passport. But still saving $200 almost. I mean, that's still way cheaper than it would have been. And by the way, this is not an Onion story. This is a real story. There's an interview with the guy and the whole deal. And that is what he decided to do. Now, whether he is going to live as Adam West for the rest of his life, I don't know. I mean, at some point, maybe it makes sense for him. Maybe it's complicated. It makes sense for him to change back to his other name.
I don't know, though. It's already his Facebook.
It is already his Facebook.
You're right.
Maybe
he'll
stick with it.
So, and I also don't know if when he got the new passport, for instance, with the new name, did they void the old passport? Because now if he changes his name back, then he's got to pay again to get another passport. So I don't know all the details on this. But that's pretty creative thinking just to get out of having to change, you know, pay to change your airline ticket, isn't it?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So his name is now Adam West. That's the point of the story.
I love it. I love it.
All right, he's your hero.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show.
The day is just getting started. There's way more shenanigans to come.
Right. Runyon Canyon reopened.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hipster Hollywood Dave was very excited about this, King of Mexico.
I got to tell you, the number of people on social media excited about Runyon Canyon opening yesterday, it was like they finally got water in their house. You know what I mean? Like, that was the level of excitement. It's, oh, my God, now I can drink.
But don't you feel like there's a certain percentage of people who just are excited about it because they love it and there's some beautiful views and it's a great way to get outside? And then there are other people who love it just so that they can put up an Instagram saying that they're running Canyon.
Absolutely.
I do think that it is a very popular place for people to go just to take a photo so it looks like they're being active.
Right. And which group would you say that the King of Mexico falls into?
Hipster Hollywood Dave?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Dave.
He's photo op only. Believe me, look at Dave. He's not exercising. Dave drives down there, gets out of the car, takes his Instagram photo next to the Runyon Canyon sign, gets back in his car, and then drives to McDonald's.
I'm just Dave rad. Does.
Yeah, right.
He's just rad. Also on the program today, we have the Bachelor in Paradise report.
Who saw some of that last night?
I missed it. Didn't have time. I was doing stuff. Did you watch it?
I saw a lot of it.
Oh, sweet.
It is.
Is it soul-crushing and at times fantastic?
Yes. Yes, it is all of those things.
Is it 95% soul-crushing and 5% fantastic?
Yes, they're the most horrible people in the world on this show. They really are. And, of course, last night was mostly about Chad, as you would expect.
Sure.
I mean, it was the Hurricane Chad was in town last night. So I can't wait to hear P break it down.
Social media got you in trouble at work. We're going to take your calls on that today on the Kevin and Bean Show. We have our old friend Steve-O.
Steve-O.
We'll be dropping in to the studio to visit. And we've got your tickets for Radiohead at the Shrine. And today we're going to do it with Listener Oki. So you pick your favorite Radiohead song and then you perform it for us.
I like it.
So that's coming up in the 8 o'clock hour this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Yeah, it is. It's right. What you said.
Yeah.
It's accurate. That's exactly who we are and where we are and what time it is.
Thanks for the backup.
What's happening?
Allie's in for Ralph Garber with the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's new? What's going on?
I have been searching for this video and can't find it, but something went very wrong yesterday on America's Got Talent. Not sure if you heard about this, but a woman had just lit an arrow on fire and was shooting it at her husband, who's a stuntman, who had a big bullseye apparently fed down his throat by a pole. So he had the bullseye attached basically to his throat. Well, her her aim was a little off, and she actually hit him just in the throat. Didn't hit the actual bullseye. So that's not good. It's not something you want.
I saw it.
You did?
And they should have given him high marks because that was impressive.
Really? I have looked on like four different sites. I don't know if they're just not showing it because it was so crazy. No,
I Googled it. The first thing that came up was Us Magazine. They've got it if you want to look there.
That's what I'm on.
Oh, all right.
It just has still photos of it.
Oh, there's a... I'm looking at the video right now. But go ahead. So what happened? Was he hurt?
He actually was sent to the hospital, but Nick Cannon apparently gave him a little reassurance. He's like, well, you're not on fire.
Okay.
So that's good. That's good. Something you want to hear after you've been hit in the throat with a flaming arrow. You saw it, Kevin. What happened?
It was exactly what you said. It was like a sword swallower, but he had, I guess it was a target that she was supposed to shoot at. I mean,
it looks like a target like the size of a small dinner plate that he's holding on a you know, pole in his mouth. And that's what she was supposed to hit and went low.
And why is she... And I don't understand why they did it. Like, why would you swallow a sword and then put a target on it and then shoot an arrow at it? That doesn't make sense. Maybe just
to dress up the act, I guess.
I guess.
You know, just to make it more dramatic.
But it
was
not...
They look very, very shaken up as they're standing there afterwards.
I'm realizing where the video would be on my page, which is just a white, big, blank screen. So this computer is awesome. So I'll watch that later.
Good times.
That would be fun.
It's worth a watch.
Is it?
Yeah.
They freaked out a little bit?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I want Simon Cowell around, if that happens to
me. Well, all three judges were just, their mouths were open, and they were just like, what just happened?
Wow. Yeah. I didn't know that show was live, so that's impressive.
Zero for effort. Oh. Zero for style, zero for star quality, and you know what? I'm being generous.
They didn't judge it, though, right? They
said I didn't see the video go that long, but I doubt it. I mean, what's
that'd be amazing.
Why would you?
They're like, we're not going to put you through.
That was a fail, so.
Oh, dear. Well, we have talked about this. It's a new Christopher Guest movie. Christopher Guest movies are my favorite. I love Waiting for Guffman. I love Best in Show. All of those. Well, his new movie, Mascots, which is about... Of course, what you would think it'd be about mascots. It stars many of his regular troupe of actors, Jane Lynch, Parker Posey, Fred Willard, Ed Begley Jr. It takes place in the ultra-competitive world of sports mascots where they compete for the most prestigious award in their field called the Gold Fluffy.
I'm sorry?
That's the award you'd win.
The Gold Fluffy.
Absolutely.
Which is what?
Well, we will soon find out.
Oh.
And we know when we will find out.
Okay.
October 13th.
Is there some kind of competition?
Yes, they all compete, and the Gold Fluffy is the award. Come on, Kevin.
I think in the trailer they show it. It's a little statue that kind of looks like a bear or something that you win if you win the competition.
October 13th.
Right.
Netflix global premiere. I have it circled. I cannot wait. Who's in? Who's with me?
I'm in.
All right.
And let's not forget our friend Brad Williams is in it, too.
We think he is.
He still thinks he is.
Yes.
He has not yet received word he was cut. So
excellent.
For now, I'm hoping that he is.
We will await that. Good times. Matthew McConaughey, we know that he drives his Lincoln.
Yeah.
You see those commercials. Pretty much every other commercial, it feels like, during sporting events.
Just him staring off into the distance.
Yeah. Driving his Lincoln.
Yep.
Well, he has been the spokesperson from 2014 through this year. But what is next? What if he's not driving that Lincoln anymore? Don't worry, Kevin, because he has now signed a multi-year contract to write, direct, and appear in ads for Wild Turkey.
Really?
I'm so in for that.
That's awesome.
Because he can't be like creepy looking out the window drinking Wild Turkey, right? He's got to be in some shenanigans. He's got to be getting into it.
I would think so, yeah. Starting fights and
yes!
whatnot. Yeah.
I am so down.
Good times.
He's already made a short 6-minute film for the company, which is on YouTube right now. Has over 81,000 views. So that is my next stop this morning.
You'll see a celebrity and you'll go, they got paid a lot of money, but they don't really use that product. This one, I believe Matthew McConaughey is probably a Wild Turkey drinker.
It is in his veins.
Yeah, that's pretty, right?
Wild Turkey.
That's pretty sweet.
I'm so in. It's just good stuff. All of these stars born today, August the 3rd, actor Martin Sheen is 76, Martha Stewart, 75, John C. McGinley is 57, Metallica singer James Hetfield is 53, Evangeline Lilly, 37, Hannah Simone is 36, Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte is 32, model Carly Kloss is 24, L.A. Rams running back Todd Gurley is 22, and Patriots quarterback Tom Mueller. Effin' Brady. Is the best looking 39 I've ever seen.
There's a lot of people that don't like Tom Brady, and I'm okay with that.
Me too, Tom. They hate us because they ain't us.
You, Tom Brady.
I mean, it's fine. I don't care.
No, you don't.
You are in Patriots country. You mentioned Tom Brady.
I am Patriots country, and I mentioned Tom Brady.
That's... Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's
keep his name out your mouth. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
You see how excited Dave was pretending to be yesterday about his favorite hiking trail being back open?
Oh, man. He kept saying, oh, you guys, Runyon's open again. Runyon. You guys, Runyon. It's open again. It's been months. It's open again.
4 months, guys.
Right?
4 months.
You know, it's so funny. We had Dave Holmes in yesterday, the MTV VJ, and we were talking. And we were talking about how insufferable CrossFit people are because all they want to do is talk about CrossFit, right? That's what the Runyon people are like. Online, there are certain people, and you know who you are, who can't go a day without posting photos about them being at Runyon Canyon.
Right, but here's the thing. Some of them are at Runyon Canyon every day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that might be just representative of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Dave... Not exactly Mr. CrossFit, Mr. Workout.
Okay.
So Dave goes there like once a month so that he can post a pic.
Dave.
That's just BS because I posted maybe two pics ever from my hikes at Runyon. So I don't know why you're coming at me of, oh, you just want to go and post a pic. That's just BS. And two, I do enjoy it. I go every couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I go with my dog.
Right.
I meet with friends. We walk and talk, and we hike with our dogs. So why is that such a bad thing to be excited about?
Because it's mostly Hollywood hipsterville up there, and clearly you've written a script that you're trying to get representation for.
Yeah.
That's clearly what's happening.
Well, that's the best place to pass it along, so yeah.
Right. Tell us what you've seen. Tell us about the guy with the script. Listen, tell us that one.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of people who go up there, and I mean, there's a lot of hot chicks out there. So that's one reason to go up there. But, I mean, once I was hiking up, and this guy was in loafers, jeans, and he was wearing sunglasses and was reading a script. You know, going
while
down.
Walking.
Yeah, and not just like reading it like quietly. He was mouth like slow, like low, just talking like, yeah, and then he comes something. And I was like, what is this guy doing?
Mm. He's doing a moving audition in case Ron Howard walks by in the opposite direction and can hire him for a movie.
You said a lot of work gets done there.
What do you
mean? Oh, a lot of work. Where they discuss deals and they're talking to lawyers.
I mean, like, if you pay attention to people... talking, everyone, a lot of people are talking about the business, you know, it's talking about auditions, mm-hmm. talking about this, talking about that, but that's not all that, all the people that go there. A lot of people go there to hike and enjoy
right.
the
but
views.
Which one are you?
Me? I enjoy walking with my dog. It's one that my dog can handle.
Why do you wear a scarf and a monocle when you do it?
Right?
Yes, I'm pretty sure I don't wear a scarf and a monocle.
Let's hear a little bit of the high-quality journalism surrounding the Runyon Canyon opening up yesterday. I think this is Channel 4, I want to say?
Channel 4.
Runyon Canyon is open again today. It closed back in April so crews could replace an old pipe in the middle of the park. NBC4's Tony Guinyar is live in Hollywood Hills where people have been showing up all morning long. How you doing out there, Tony?
I'm doing fine, but Michael, I heard you mention you told me to take a hike, and I did take a hike.
Hey, what?
That is
good.
You, listen to them.
You said take a hike. That's crazy because it's a hiking trail.
Yeah, it is, Kevin.
Oh, dear Lord. We're having fun, aren't we?
You're not. I was told on average 35,000 people show up at this park every week. It's no wonder that Runyon Canyon is as much a celebrity as some of the people hiking through it. Since it's been closed, it's seen controversy, gotten a facelift. The improvements completed $1 million under budget.
Okay, hold on a sec. Runyon Canyon is like a celebrity because it's been closed and it got some improvements made in a facelift?
That's
what she said.
That happened.
See, because.
Okay.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Right?
All right.
For the first time since April, Runyon Canyon Park regulars are back where they say.
I'm gonna show some walking for this story.
They belong.
You might have been going to other places, and it's not the same as Runyon Canyon.
It's so unique. You can find nothing like this in Los Angeles.
Candace Nelson was among the walkers and runners, joggers and dogs to return to Runyon Canyon this morning. The 160-acre park had been closed to allow for the replacement of a 90-year-old, roughly 1 mile long water main. It seems everyone is happy Runyon Canyon Park has reopened.
Except for that reporter. How bored was she?
She had a lot taken out of her on that hike. She was done.
Wow. There's a guy in the LA Times article on the reopening of Runyon Canyon. His name is Darian Brady. He says, I love it. You get to the top and you see Los Angeles. You see all the dreams that can be pursued here.
Okay.
No.
Listen.
Here's
what I like. Isn't it? That's Hollywood Dave.
Here's what I like.
Hollywood Dave goes to Runyon Canyon.
Here's what I like.
So that Hollywood Dave can say he's at Runyon Canyon.
You get up there, you see a view of Hollywood downtown, and on a clear day, you could see the ocean.
Yeah, that's what
he
just said.
Tell me that's not nice. No, he said you can see Hollywood
dreams. You can see all the dreams that can be pursued here, Dave.
What's your dream?
You can see.
What is your dream, Dave?
To Kevin to take a hike.
Bean, I just posted three pictures of the King of Mexico as a hipster.
Jeez.
Good.
You should
creepy.
Look at those because they're pretty strong, and I just want to know which one you think he is. When he's walking Runyon, does he have the big giant round glasses? Does he have that look?
Uh-huh.
Does he have a vest? Does he have a hipster beard? Like, what does he do there?
Why not all three?
I think maybe all three.
I think he wears them all.
You know what?
Good luck, Dave.
Hollywood Dave.
I'm just happy it's open.
Did you go yesterday?
I did not because I had a prior...
Well, then you're not going to get your movie made.
Yeah. That's right.
This is Hollywood Dave. This is Hollywood Dave. You're a hipster Hollywood asshole. This is Hollywood Dave. What a dick.
That's what we're saying, right?
Yeah.
This is Hollywood Dave. This is Hollywood Dave. I want to punch you in the face. This is Hollywood Dave. What a dick.
All right.
Wait. Do you wear a monocle?
We're going to punch Dave in the face, and then we're going to take your telephone calls for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. We haven't, I don't think we've done that this week yet, but we've been very busy. But we do have time for some phone calls right now on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. If we're wrong about Runyon, how about Donald Trump who hates babies, the Olympics.
How about Animal Kingdom last night?
Oh.
Animal Kingdom last night. Bachelor in Paradise ahead of P, talking about it coming up next hour. Anything on your mind? You got comments, you got questions, you got problems. We want you to call us right now, toll free 1-800-520-1067. That's the number, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, What's Good with your calls next on K-Rock.
This is Hollywood Days. This is Hollywood Days.
Last night, we were thrown right into The Bachelor in Paradise just 24 hours after the conclusion of the Bachelorette season, and our friend Petros Papadakis is going to be reviewing that for us coming up in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock. Trust me, you don't want to miss it. It was an unbelievable episode. First, though, your call is 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time, what's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
All right, got a nice batch of calls here. Why don't we start with Geronimo? He's in Thousand Oaks. Get us going here on line two, please.
All right. Hey, Geronimo.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
I had a Kevin moment on Sunday.
Now, let me just interrupt you there. How come this is not a Geronimo moment?
Because you're the founder of stupidity.
I see. Okay. Oh, right. Kevin, you're the gold standard of doing dumb things.
I founded stupidity.
Not just a member.
Wow. All right.
Yep.
I accept that. Go ahead.
So I had to take my son to music camp in Idlewild, and I live in Thousand Oaks, so it's about 150 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Got up at 7, left 7:45, got there around 11 or so. Got him all registered, no problem. And then I had to turn in his medicines, and I realized I forgot one.
Oh, no.
And I can't refill it or do anything, so guess who had to drive all the way back to his house and drive all the way back to Iowa.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. So how many extra miles did you have to drive because you forgot the pills?
300.
300 miles.
So my total was 630 miles and about 10 hours.
Oh,
and I still have to sleep in my own bed at night.
That's the almost the definition of a Kevin moment. Well done,
yep.
Geronimo.
Almost made it to Idaho.
All right, dude. Thank you so much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try John in Riverside. How about line four, please?
All right. John, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's good?
Well, you know, I rely on you guys a lot for your TV picks and this Animal Kingdom. While I find it oddly disturbing and sometimes it's really good. I want to thank you guys for that. So I want to return the favor with two.
Okay.
Actually, one is Preacher. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
All right, let me stop you there. Now, I was in on Preacher, and I watched the first episode, and I did not understand what was happening. But then I thought, you know what? It'll come around. I'll figure it out. I'll watch the second one.
Yeah, because a lot of times on shows, you can't put all the pieces together until you get further into the episodes and you start to see how it all connects. That makes sense.
So I watched the second one, and then that's when I realized that the guy was inhabited by the spirit of a child that a demon had with an angel?
Some weird...
So then I watched the third one, and then I was like, okay, still, after the third one, I don't understand. So I went and looked it up online, and that's when I realized what was going on. Then I watched the fourth one, and I said, I'm out.
Yeah. For me, it's been like a vacuum that sucked me in. The vampire guy who's... The drug addict vamp, I don't understand him, but that one I was going to recommend.
Okay.
Also on Amazon.
Why are you still recommending it if you don't understand what's going on in it?
It's like some weird thing. It's just drawn me in.
So yeah, it's weird, and I get that draw. It's just I didn't have – maybe I'm not smart enough.
Okay. All right. Show number two.
On Amazon TV, Man in the High Castle.
Oh, I've heard good things about that.
That there will blow your mind. Just picture – TV show, what it's about, America lost World War II. Germany and Japan divide up America. Rocky Mountains East is all German territory. Rocky Mountains West is all Japanese territory.
I like it.
All right.
I like it. Yeah. And it'll be a good primer for when America loses World War III, because that's coming up.
Thank you for the call, John.
We really appreciate you listening. All right, let's try. Speaking of Animal Kingdom that John mentioned, let's go to David real quick. He's in Garden Grove. There may or may not be spoiler alerts because last night was another new episode, but let's see what David's got for us.
Hey, David.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good, thank you.
I was just kind of interested, you know, it's like, how do you get in line to bang Ellen Barkin?
The answer is you're her son. Disturbingly as that is, I don't know. That's such a weird family dynamic on Animal Kingdom.
Well, it's it is kind of you know kinky in a way. And,
yeah,
you know, kind of drew me to it. So.
She seems to use her sexuality to influence her sons.
Well, it's what she's manipulating them, and
right?
She's programming them,
right? But with her sexuality is an extra layer of effed up. Did you watch last night's episode, David?
Well, yeah, no, I missed it.
David.
Did you record it?
I have it on that U thingy, whatever.
Okay.
All right, as long as you got it on the U thingy.
I think last night's episode was the best of the season so far.
It was incredible.
I'm gonna have to replay it.
It was incredible.
Definitely.
Can't wait.
But, I mean, hey, guys. If she did that to me or acted that way to me, hell, I'd rob anything.
Hey, how old do you think Ellen Barkin is? Allie, do you know? She's got to be in her 60s, right?
I wouldn't say 60s.
I would
really?
Say
no.
60s.
No, 57, I think.
Well, she is smoldering sexuality, that's for sure. Thank you very much for the call. Appreciate that. Let's move on.
She's 62.
That sounds
62.
About right.
Wow.
Sounds about right.
Damn.
Let's go to Isaiah. He's up next, Garden Grove, 1-800-520-1067. We're taking calls on Kevin Bean's What's Good here on a Wednesday morning Kevin Bean Show. Isaiah, what's good with you, my friend?
Kevin Bean, you guys are my heroes.
We're your heroes?
Okay. You're my heroes.
Well, that's a little rough.
You need to read more, or you need to meet with adults who can direct you in a better direction. Something. But what can we do for you?
I think you guys should do that segment again when you have people call in about what they believed as a little kid.
Oh, yeah, that was great. Yeah.
I believed if you turn the TV off while watching it, you could then return and it will be at that same spot.
Okay. All right.
That is not true.
Did you have one? What?
Yeah.
It's not true?
No, no.
Did you have one of those, Isaiah?
When I was a little kid, I always believed that people doing their jobs, I thought that's what they have always wanted to do. I thought they went to school. I thought the trash guy.
Oh, I see.
Aspired to be the trash guy.
So everybody that had a job, that was their ultimate dream.
That's what I thought.
Hmm. And then at some point you looked around and realized everyone wasn't an astronaut or a firefighter, so that couldn't be true.
Yeah.
But when did you realize that? Like a year ago?
About a year ago.
Okay.
All right, Isaiah. Get some new heroes. Get some sleep. But thank you for calling Kevin and Bean's What's Good. What's Good?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
Our old friend Steve-O stops by on the show later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And don't forget, listeneroki in the 8 o'clock hour for Radiohead tickets. We're going to be asking you to sing your favorite Radiohead song. Someone will win tickets to go see them at the Shrine. They have two shows coming up, so stick around for that on K-Rock. Petros Papadakis joins us right after the top of the hour. First, Ali's here in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat.
Well, he has won 18 gold medals, 22 medals overall, far more than any other athlete. Therefore, he has been picked to carry the United States flag during the opening ceremony for the Rio Games. Of course, I'm talking about
Mark Spitz.
I believe
a lot of
have
times
to,
they bring people out of retirement to carry the flag.
I believe you have to be in the actual games to carry the flag during the opening
ceremony.
Flag. Yeah,
I thought
not
you were talking
torch.
About the torch.
Oh, that's good. No,
yeah.
No.
Okay, all right. How about
Isio Puig?
No.
Okay.
It is Michael Phelps.
Mr. Excitement?
Oh,
yes.
He is dynamic.
Yes.
And you know what? He can carry a flag. That's the extent of what he should do.
Really?
Carry a flag.
Okay.
And keep his mouth shut. He's the
not a lot of interviews.
He is walking Ambien, that guy.
He really is.
He will put you to sleep when he talks for 5 seconds.
Here's the thing about Michael Phelps, kids, is he won all those gold medals. Didn't he win
18
eight
goals.
In one games or something?
But yeah,
he won
a
like
lot.
Eight in one
yeah.
games.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
And people were like, oh, my God, is he going to cash in? Is he going to be the spokesperson of our generation? Because everybody was so into him.
Right.
And the first time he showed up to do a commercial and opened his mouth, people went, maybe not so much with
not
him.
Not so much the it factor.
Which is why you almost never see commercials with Michael Phelps.
Yeah. Well, he skipped the opening ceremony at the last three Olympics because he had to rest up for the 400-meter individual medley, which is always the next day.
Yeah, and it's too exhausting to walk.
No, but he also did eight different events. I mean,
yeah,
that's
he's
craziness.
Insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that event is actually no longer part of the program, so he will be able to carry the flag and represent our great nation Friday during the opening ceremonies.
All right. That guy's dull.
I don't know if that's been established.
Did we bring that up?
Yeah,
okay.
I think
we got it.
Okay.
Someone who's not dull, Vanilla Ice, who's with me. Air travel is not fun.
Right.
Being in an airport is not fun.
Right.
People tend to have a very short fuse.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe taking it out on the people doing their jobs at the ticket counter, not the best.
I also didn't buy his explanation.
Yeah, especially when you're probably so wrong. We've got a little bit of audio. He's not pleased that the plane took off without him.
He says that he was standing 3 feet from the counter and never heard the announcement.
Yeah.
So this is him yelling.
Sitting in the freaking line right here. I'm thinking all these people are in line to board. I'm behind them right here.
You gotta watch the monitor, man.
Hey, I don't need any information from you, man. Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth. I don't need anything from you. You don't work here. Shut up.
The guy said, "You gotta watch the monitor, dude."
That wasn't an employee. That was just somebody else giving him a tip. He didn't want to hear it. There's no.
I love that guy so much.
There's no way he was there waiting for his flight because they make so many announcements.
Yeah.
He got there late and he lost it.
Yeah.
Is my guess.
And apparently at one point he asked why they didn't call his name. Like they individually are like, hey, you're probably in here somewhere, Vanilla. Ugh. Gotta watch the monitor, dude. That is my favorite thing I've ever heard. Ratings in for the fourth Sharknado.
Oh, please tell me it was awful.
The weakest since the first one, which was the lowest rated.
Well, I think the first one, like, no one knew what it was, and it looked terrible and
right,
whatever.
And then people were like, what is this?
Then we realized it was so bad it was good.
That you had to watch the second one, which was the highest rated series. But it came in at just about 2.7 million viewers. That's down from the 2.8 of Sharknado 3. On the flip side, The Bachelorette pulled in 8.4 million viewers as JoJo handed out her final rose to Jordan. But that's just a bit more than last summer's season finale. So ratings kind of down on everything. But 2.7 million still are watching Sharknado.
It was terrible, you guys.
Dean watched it.
I was excited for because I thought, you know, they suck you in with all the cameos. I mean, you get an opportunity to watch Gary Busey and David Hasselhoff, and you think, this could be campy, fun, bad.
Sure. And if they do campy, fun, bad, well, it is.
Yeah, I'm in.
Which
yeah,
the
I
second
like
one was awesome.
The second one was awesome, yeah. But it was just terrible. It was just awful.
So you liked it?
I didn't care for it.
Okay. All right. Happy birthday to all these people born today. August the 3rd. Martin Sheen is 76. Martha Stewart, 75. John C. McGinley is 57. L.A. Rams running back Todd Gurley is 22. Model Carly Kloss is 24. Olympic swinger Ryan Lochte is 32.
He's a swinger.
Did I say swinger?
He's an Olympic swinger.
Would you prefer?
I would prefer. Speaking of, have you ever seen him being interviewed?
No.
Holy crap. It's good.
Better or worse than Michael Phelps?
He's comparable.
Oh, wow.
I think he may be dumber than Michael
Phelps.
He's
so much dumber.
I'm not positive that's
just possible. Google him and Google Philly News interviews Ryan Lochte. It is one of my favorite things I have ever seen in my life. Just do it. Metallica singer James Hetfield is 53. I sang a little Metallica on the show. Remember that?
I do.
That's good.
You want to do it again in celebration?
Well, I need the song
we'll get
behind
it
me. All right. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady is 39.
How many things you need to know that this guy is a flaming liar?
Evangeline Lilly is 37. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Come on, it's
Bishop
radio.
Briggs. Please,
have you let ever? The lady sing.
Really? Evanescence? What's wrong
I'm
with
sorry.
You?
Have you ever done radio before?
You don't start talking while the song's on.
But he moved
you
the
guys
mic
do
away
it all the time. I hear you guys do it all the time, man.
That's just because I turn people's mics on before they know.
All right. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's K-Rock. It is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
So was that Evanescence?
No.
Bishop.
No. Bishop. I don't know how we got so lucky to have Petros Papadakis, the great Petros from the Petros Money Radio Show on AM 570. I don't know how we got so lucky to have him in 2 days in a row, but here he is, ladies and gentlemen, talking Bachelor in Paradise.
Hey.
It premiered last night on ABC. P, how are you, my friend?
I'm okay. You know, you're singing a different tune than you said yesterday. You know, you're still on the air after I leave, and I can hear you. And you said that I exhaust you.
Well, you're tired. You are
no,
tired.
No, no. Yeah. Anybody with the energy tires Bean out. He's exhausted just by sitting and listening to you.
You think I like being this way? You think I don't?
I know you don't have a choice.
You don't think at night I don't get in bed and shut my eyes and try to burn the past? Because I do. I totally hate myself.
I do feel like there should be some medication that can bring you down a few notches, but so far you haven't found it.
Oh, you want to sap my soul?
I don't.
You want to turn me into a zombie?
No, I feel like maybe Bachelor in Paradise is doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Just well. And
this is your favorite of all the shows, right?
In a way.
You love the bit. Because it's the worst.
It's the drama you get with the first couple episodes of The Bachelor, Bachelorette itself. When you got all 26 guys and the girl, and there's idiots, there's freaks, there's planted weirdos to cause drama, and you definitely have that the whole way through with the BIP. Bachelor in Paradise.
Why are these people so awful. They're there to pretend that they're looking for love, but they're really there just to be snarky and criticize and be mean to other people. Why are they so terrible?
Well, there's plants in there, Bean, but, you know, we do have people that are married, you know, like old Jade, the Wild Mustang. Remember her?
Sure.
I think that's her name. Yeah, she got married to
the Playboy one.
Yeah,
right?
Like a creepy software sales guy last year. I mean, so, they got married. They're getting married. So, you know, they're going to have a kid, and that's going to be because of the BIP. So before we say they're all not there for the right reasons, let's remember Jade and the sex she's having with her fiancé right now and the loveless marriage she's ready to enter into.
So what did you think of the batch of former contestants they pulled together for the BIP last
night? Just thirsty people that we need to be satiated by. I mean...
We have an introduction for this feature. If you guys want to just blow past it,
well,
that's
fine. Well, I
was
waiting for it. What do you want from me? I mean, he's firing questions at me.
On this beautiful journey, as Ralph Bartman and Petros Papadakis recap, it's the Bachelor in a Paradise.
Oh, yeah.
It's so nice, it's full of spice. It's the Bachelor in a Paradise. Ralph and Pete make the sacrifice. Come on and join in on the fun, cause all these people are so dumb. So Ralph and Pete, what's the deal? Is there anybody you want to kill? The Bachelor in Paradise.
Sebastian the Crab there.
It's almost enough island flavor to make the P&M playlist, right?
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. You know, I enjoy a Caribbean theme.
Yes, you do.
As you know. Anyway, this is Harrison's real opportunity to wave his little hands around and act like a boss. And he does. And he did have a great line in the intro of this. He said, "Whose heart will be crushed forever?"
Oh.
And it's like, wow, the stakes are high down in Mexico. And we do have good contestants. We got the one-arm girl, Sarah, who in the intro, Bean, I don't know if you noticed, was greasing up her nub.
Yeah, she was. Yes, she was.
With
for what,
with
though? I'm not sure what she's planning to do.
Tanning lotion.
She was tanning, by the way.
When a show starts with a one-armed person greasing up the nub,
and you know,
I'm in.
I'm not being biased here, or prejudiced.
Yes.
But I don't think it's fair to put somebody with one arm on these shows with all these. And they're all attractive, and she's attractive, too.
Right.
But the whole thing is going to be about her one arm. And we'll get there.
Okay.
But, you know, because the producer's going to say, "Do you think you didn't find love, B? Because you only have the one arm."
No, they didn't.
Every time. She's been on the show like three times. And every time they ask her that, and she goes, "No!" And she's still alone.
Those of you that don't watch The Bachelor or Bachelorette, this is like the worst of both, but they're an equal number of guys and girls.
Yeah, and then they do it disproportionately, so one person or two gets kicked off.
Right.
The premise of the show is stupid.
Right.
Lace is there. Lizard Lips Lace.
She's a former villain on the show, right?
She's just kind of an idiot.
All right.
Then you got the twin girls from Vegas.
Right.
Evil Ass Chad, a.k.a. Mm-hmm. the Chad Bear. Nick from Andy and Caitlin's season. He had sex. It's documented with both.
Okay.
So he's a bit of a slayer. He's cut a swath. Jubilee, who fought in Afghanistan.
Okay.
Looks like a stripper. Fought in Afghanistan.
All right. Right. It's very confusing to me.
And Daniel... This is, and Bean was saying this during the break, Daniel is a gift to all of us.
Oh, is that right?
The
Canadian.
Here he is saying, you know, we just can't get rid of him.
Can't get rid of me, no. I'm like a disease that just won't go away, you know, like herpes or something. I don't know if I want to be associated with herpes, but, you know. It's treatable nowadays, so it's not a big deal, right?
Yeah, you're good. Valtrex.
No, Daniel.
He's the best already.
Oh. Valtrex. Daniel, when you're in a hole, my friend, stop digging.
More of a suppressant. speaking of that hole, you know, he came on and he saw some of the girls, and this was one of the insulting things he had to say about, well, let's say the pack of women.
Where are all the girls at? Come on. I'm a wolf. So far, these are like washed up street dogs.
Wow.
There's nothing better than seeing a group of girls, you know, standing in a corner at the dance and saying, wow, what a bunch of washed up street
dogs. And at one point, didn't he compare? He was trying to make an analogy about girls are fruit, but some of these look like they got bruised in transport. I mean, it was a very confusing analogy.
But broken off branches, and of course, then they cut to the one-armed girl.
Oh, no.
I hate this show already.
But heavy drinking there, Allie.
Okay.
Oh. And everybody starts making out immediately.
Oh.
Especially Crazy Chad, who is ripped as always, but it's too lean, Bean. To me, if you want to really scare people, you got to have a little bit more girth, a little bit more mass.
His crazy doesn't make up for girth?
He's light in the ass. Okay. He's got skinny legs. He can protect those legs. We cut him down in a moment like a tree. Is that bad when I just see people walking down the hall? Doesn't matter who it is. And I just say, God, they're not protecting their legs. I should cut that person out right now.
I'm going to say yes.
That never goes away.
You have a unique point of view.
That
yes,
never
that's
goes
bad.
Away. Here's Chad and Lace kind of face wrestling. Or, like, they were making out, but also swearing at each other.
Okay.
And slapping each other. Okay. Like, you're a bitch. No, you're a bitch. No, stop, bitch. You're a bitch. And then, of course, you know, that's not going to end well at the end of the night.
Right.
As the drinking keeps going. But here is the lead up to that.
Tom's all the news, yeah.
Get off me!
What? You started it. You're going to push me on?
I didn't think you'd get behind me.
Oh, my God. You just have to chill out.
Stop, you weirdo.
Yeah.
And then it turns into a fight.
Yeah.
And Chad's like, he kind of gives her like a push, but they were like really making out and rubbing on each other.
They're so, like alternate loving each other and hating each other every 30 seconds. It rotates.
Yeah.
It's the craziest thing.
It's Tyga and Kylie.
Right. That's exactly what it is.
We should have a show with Tyga, call it the Statchler, you know, like statutory. Sorry.
I'm not positive that we want to go there.
We don't.
What? She was young.
Right.
All right. So Chad gets in a big fight with everybody.
Sure.
He's super drunk, and he's calling everybody out.
Like he does.
Yeah. And, you know, even Daniel cannot rein him in. And we could have made it a 20-minute clip. I mean, I just didn't know what to do. I was watching last night. Very conflicted.
Yeah. It's,
but the best thing is he called the one-arm girl, the best slash worst thing, a one-arm bitch. And it's just not what you say to somebody who's got one arm who's a girl.
No, that was too much.
Those two things together.
If it's a guy, it's fine.
He also later in the show called her Army McArmerson. We did not pull that clip, but here is her being called a one arm female canine.
Right. You already said bitch.
I did say bitch.
Okay.
You don't that one arm bitch. I'm gonna.
Dude, I think you gotta go.
You it's, suck that.
So either you leave or I leave, and
yeah, cool. Keep sucking that. Keep sucking that fame.
Wow! It's like a mutiny. Everyone on Bachelor in Paradise turns against Chad, and they realize this guy is unstable.
He's
and
trash.
Well,
that guy
point,
is trash.
I'm going to make you happy because he passes out.
Uh huh.
A crab crawls into his hair.
Good.
While he snores in a sleep apnea style.
Sweet.
And then he voids his bowels.
Yeah! He craps himself?
Bean?
Yeah, he does.
What?
Episode one?
Yes,
what,
he does.
What?
Passes out.
Wow.
Crabs crawl in his hair like he's a corpse on Hawaii 5-0.
Oof.
Voiding of the bowels.
Oh, my God.
While snoring. Truly a prize.
See, I'm the opposite of Allie. Now I need to watch.
But it's over now. Because the next morning, Chris Harrison, once Chad wakes up naked.
Because somebody was kind enough to pull his shorts off of him, yeah. I guess.
I think he washed in the sea. And he wakes up naked. And they get everybody together. And Chris Harrison kicks Chad out.
Oh, really?
But Chad is not going quietly. He will rage against the dying of the camera light. I just pulled that out. I just
that was
pulled
sweet.
That, pulled
it was
that
good.
One out
it
just
was
right there.
That was pretty good.
Just dry mind. You know, like with no porn, you know?
Right.
All right. All right.
I'm not sure.
I'm sorry. Here he is.
Apologize.
Here he is saying what everybody wants to say. F
maybe you should
see a therapist.
Seek help.
I want to talk to you. I'm serious. That's not a joke. You, dude.
How is this making it better?
How is what making what? Like, go drink your mimosas. Get your robe 100 miles away like you do, because you don't know about anybody here. You're going to send me home? You can do this when you think this is all, like, fun and games. This is my life. This is my life. And you're going to sit here and you're going to try and make me look like a bitch.
Well,
you, Chris Harrison, come at me.
Oh,
come at me,
yes. Bro.
F you, Chris Harrison, come at me. And then bang.
There's no one on this show that Chad hasn't tried to fight.
Wait,
to
and
be
then
continued.
Bang what? They fight?
No, it's to be continued. And then I think Chad will rage for the next 20 minutes of the next episode. He knocks over everybody's drinks and, like, throws.
So this isn't an act. This guy is legit unhinged.
You know,
that's impossible.
It's a tough call because he was sitting there at their after the final rose thing.
But he also
smiling.
Recently lost his mom, right?
Yeah, recently lost his mom.
I think he needs serious therapy and
talk
serious
to ABC.
Help. That's what I'm saying.
You know,
you
put
guys
these people
made
on
this.
To be a fool.
Absolutely. It's disgusting.
I support it.
You would.
But at a certain point, that's what they want. You know,
absolutely.
You bring somebody there to freak out. They kick them out immediately. You know, it's like putting somebody out as bait for a kidnapper or something in Mexico City. You know, all these
yes,
people are going to be
like that.
You know, they're going to be a victim. They're going to be victimized by Chad. You hope you can save them in time, but they're going to be victimized by Chad. And he did it last night. It was pretty good.
How should I feel as a person who watched the show? Should I feel good about myself
no,
or should I feel
no,
shame?
No, no, no. And I said this yesterday when we finished the season on Matt and I's show. None of us should ever feel good about any of this.
Okay.
This
right.
is not,
just so we're clear.
We'll laugh, but it's like Tony Bennett said in the Boulevard of Broken Dreams. You laugh today, but cry tomorrow. Because, you know, the joy that you find here, you borrow. You understand?
Right, yeah.
We are terrible people laughing at sadder people.
Okay.
And making our own meaningless lives somehow a little bit more tolerable through this horrible vehicle.
I'm good
all
with
right.
that.
So as long as we're all on the same page. Petrus and Money Radio Show airs this afternoon once again on AM 570 from 3 till 7. We'll talk to you next week when Ralph is back for more of The Bip. Thanks, Pete.
Bye, guys.
The Bachelor.
Steve-O joins us next hour. Back on the Kevin Bean Show. Plus, we'll give you some tickets to go see Radiohead at the Shrine with Listener Roki. We'll be asking you to sing your favorite Radiohead song. That's coming up next hour. It's been a while since we talked about this, but it's worth mentioning that when you put something on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter.
Even Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Other people can see it. And I think that sometimes gets lost. I think people don't realize.
Yeah.
That people can see what you post. And every once in a while, Kevin, you know this more than anyone.
How dare you?
You put something up on the internet and all of a sudden there's a firestorm. And it happened again in the Miss Teen USA pageant. Here's the report.
Miss Teen USA 2016 is Texas!
That lady right there, Carly Hay, that's her name. She was crowned on Saturday night, but shortly after, tweets that she wrote years ago started surfacing, and it has sparked a whole lot of outrage online. These are some of the posts from 2013 and 2014, four of them in total. In those tweets, she uses the N-word while apparently joking with her friends. Well, Hay was in her early teens at the time and now says she isn't proud of those comments. She admitted to using that language, taking to Twitter to apologize for it now, saying, quote, through hard work, education, and thanks in part to the sisterhood that I have come to know through pageants, I am proud to say that I'm a better person today. I'm honored to hold this title and will use this platform to promote the values of the Miss Universe organization
what
and my
18-year-old writes that?
What PR person wrote that for
What 40-year-old PR person?
Right, exactly.
All right. I have a lot of thoughts on this, starting with this one. Do we care what an 18-year-old beauty pageant winner wrote on Twitter 3 years ago? Should we care?
We shouldn't. But a lot of people, which this is insane in my opinion, think that these women in beauty pageants are representative of other girls, that we should look up to them. Which
right.
is
She's a beauty pageant winner. She won because she has blonde hair
Absolutely.
And big boobs.
Absolutely. We should not be holding these people to a higher regard. It's a beauty freaking pageant. If
okay.
this was a president, if this was, you know, somebody with a job that
somebody
matters.
Somebody that mattered.
But also...
Sure.
Also, there's the N-word is a mine for white people. It's a minefield. You don't
Absolutely.
Right. You just that's
Absolutely.
One thing, whether it's accepted or not accepted or whatever with your friends, you will be destroyed for it.
Yes.
And by the way, I'm fine with that.
Right.
I am fine. Look, everyone I know at one point or another, including us, has at one point used that word in a comical way or in a way to talk with our friends in no offense meant and no racism.
Not
nope.
me.
Nope.
I haven't. Just
but
being.
What has happened is as we have become better educated and more sensitive to that word, we all recognize that was a bad thing to do and that was wrong and we never should have done that and I apologize and I'm sorry that I did and I won't do it again. And we all learned that. And that may be the case here. But as Allie pointed out yesterday, how dumb is Miss Teen USA, former Miss Texas's team, that they didn't recognize that this was going to be in the spotlight and go back and clean this up before
scrub
she won the pageant?
Scrub your social media.
I would figure that she would do that on her own. Yeah. It's not that difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, how
so
many N-words did she use that she couldn't? It said four, right?
I saw screen caps of around
four. Yeah.
Do you guys think she should lose her crown as a result of this? As we've seen so many beauty pageant winners lose their crown for arrests or for all sorts of other things. Do
no,
you think
I
they
don't.
Should take it away? No.
No. I mean, especially because it's Miss Teen. I mean, honestly, if we all had Instagram and Twitter and stuff, I may be in jail.
I probably wouldn't have gotten into the college I got into.
Yeah.
I could, like, it's insane. And we were talking about this off the air. It must be a conversation that parents have now, saying every single thing that you do, everything that you say, everything that you post can come back to bite you.
Yeah.
Whether
mm-hmm.
it be a job, whether it be with other, it's insane right now.
I feel like what's going to happen is in the presidential elections is we're going to have the first generation that had Twitter and the internet and Instagram and stuff. And we're all going to go, oh, no, that person can't be president because they put this down.
Right.
And then we're all going to realize, okay, that's stupid. Because when you're young, you're dumb.
Right.
And everybody has skeletons. And so we need to pick somebody to be.
Well, we are.
I mean, that's assuming that we haven't crashed and burned as a society because of Mr. Trump.
We are lowering the bar on presidential candidates. And by that, I mean, it used to be if you were the wrong religion, you couldn't get elected. If you had been divorced, you couldn't get elected. A lot of those things are falling by the wayside. And I think you're right, Kevin. I think we're getting to the point where we're going to go, look, everybody did dumb things on Facebook when they were in college. And I think we're just going to have to accept that.
Sit down.
But let's talk about your social media faux pas. You saw the trouble that Miss Teen USA got into because of stuff that she had posted. It's been a long time since we've done this topic, but we want to hear from you if you got in trouble because of something that you put up on social media. A lot of times, you know, you put something up that you think is funny or you think is private or personal and you're speaking for yourself, and maybe the company you work for not as jazzed about your opinion.
Yeah, it does depend, too, on what job you have.
What job you have.
Exactly.
I mean,
our
job, they don't care for the most part. And they don't look and they don't read.
Right.
And you're right. They barely
they
know who we are.
They asked us 4 months ago if we were doing social media. We were like, we're on 106.7.
Right. Check it out.
Check it out sometime.
Allie, have you ever gotten any trouble for something you posted?
No. At my, my last job, I had a manager that would say, well, you really tweet a lot about how much news is awful.
And you were, again, that job was?
I was a news reporter.
Was he telling you to not do it as much?
He was passive-aggressively telling me, like, hey, tone down on talking about how much breaking news isn't breaking and how much Doppler radar is BS. Stop doing that.
I think everyone knows that, though.
But he didn't believe everyone knows that.
All right. Okay.
So I kept going.
All right. What did you get in trouble for? You put it online and you could not have foreseen that you would be paying the price for. That's the topic on the table right now. 1-800-520-1067. Your social media mistakes. We'll talk to you next right after this on K-Rock. All right, this is going to be fun taking calls on you put something on social media and maybe it didn't work out so well for you because of that post. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go with Kia out in Paris. She's on line 5 to get us going here on the Kevin DeBede Show.
Hey, Kia.
Good morning.
Social media got you in trouble. How?
Yeah, so several years ago, I was at work, and I was fed up, and so I put on my Facebook that I felt like, you know, I'm sorry, some people just need to be fired at my job. Didn't say names or anything like that, blanket statement. So a couple hours later, my boss calls me into her office, and she's not on social media. She's an older, you know, lady, and she hadn't gotten into it yet. But she was like, yeah, I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay, what's going on? And she pulled out this printout that somebody printed from Facebook with my post.
Mm. Oh, dear.
And she was like, yeah, did you post it? I'm like, well, it has my picture, so yeah, that's me. And she was like, well, you know, it's not okay if you post stuff like this. It can be taken the wrong way. And I'm like, well, I don't know how it could be taken the wrong way. Some people do need to be fired. Like, that's
right.
Not a bad thing.
I can't think of any – there's only one way that could be taken, which is that some people need to be fired.
Right. She was like, well, you don't want to be known as, you know, somebody who supports people getting fired. I was like, okay. So it just was a very interesting experience, and ever since then, I've been very, very careful what I post on Facebook, Instagram, anything like that, because that was, I mean, to have something that you posted jokingly or whatever be printed out and presented to you.
Yeah. Who is the snitch, Kia?
Yeah, who is the snitch, man?
Yeah, man.
Well, that's the person that needs to get fired.
That is, and that was the intent of the post, but fortunately, this person was a temporary employee. I'm a permanent employee. I've now been there for over 11 years. She's been gone. So
you won.
Okay.
All right, you won.
Thank you for the call. Thank you for listening. By the way, some people do need to get fired. That
right?
is actually true.
That's true.
Especially here. Let's try Ari Costa Mesa, line 3, please, up next.
All right. Hey, Ari.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Social media got you in trouble. How?
This was a couple years ago when the Lakers won the championship. I don't know which year it was, but it was a back-to-back year. And,
so it was like 2000, 2001-ish?
No. It was back in like 2009, I think.
Okay.
2009, 2010. And I remember I posted something saying something about if any of you Laker fans decide to go riot or go loot, see if you can pick me up a flat screen TV or something. To
That's a very reasonable request, by the way, that we have often made on this show, which is, hey, if you're going to be out there anyway, get us a TV.
So I was applying with the Los Angeles Police Department at the time.
And oh, my God, Ari, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I didn't think anything of it. I did it as a joke, and I remember I had to explain that to my background investigator. And when it came up during appeals, I had to actually explain the whole situation to the watch commander, two sergeants, and my background investigator in a panel interview. It was, it was pretty...
it's not ideal.
I didn't think it would bite me in the ass, but it did.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Haley Glendora, line 7, please.
All right, Haley, good morning.
Hi. So I played college softball, and we were trying to get a sponsorship to get some back. And pretty much our sponsor looked up all of our names and found us on social media and pulled out of our the sponsorship.
Because of the stuff that you guys had posted?
Yeah, they saw some inappropriate things, such as, well, inappropriate to them. There was a 21st drink, their first drink. There was a girl that took a selfie in a bikini.
Oh, God forbid you have a beer or wear a bikini. That's not acceptable.
College, that is awful.
What the hell?
Another one that was, it was a girl that was going to a Miley Cyrus concert. She had a handle of a fireball in her hand.
Right. Just to get through it.
She was wearing a little skimpy outfit because she was going to a concert.
Haley, I'm going to tell you something, that you dodged a bullet with that sponsor. They would have
made your life horrible.
Yeah. So pretty much our coach printed them all out, embarrassed every single girl, made us run, and then
ones
that they printed out, they actually got suspended from any team activities and softball related
things.
Wow. Is this a religious school?
Yeah, it was.
But still, again.
No, it's a whole different ball.
Can't wear a bikini if you believe in God?
No.
Right.
Thank you, Haley.
Sinful.
Keep doing what you're doing. Let's do one more. How about David, Los Angeles, line 1, please?
All right. Hi, David.
How you doing?
Good. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How did social media get you in trouble?
Well, this is kind of crazy. I posted a picture of my friend's baby, and I actually tagged a comedy page that I follow on Instagram. And they memed the crap out of it.
Oh, wait, no.
What was the baby doing?
So they took the picture of the baby and made it a meme?
Yeah, no, well, I took the picture and I actually tagged...
Right.
And what happened is it was just a regular picture, like a picture of it. But I guess he looks a little too Mexican. So they posted on the title, it says, Mexicans be like, oh, we'll call him Liam Michael Hernandez. So I was like, it just went crazy. So my friend thought that I tagged him.
Your friend thought you created the meme, even though you just put the photo up and somebody else did. I gotcha.
Exactly.
It sounds racist. No parent wants their baby to be part of a meme, I don't think. Do they?
No. No, they do not.
So, I mean, unless it's a good meme.
Right. I mean, was it funny?
Is it
that
boy?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for calling. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:53.
He is one of a kind. He is Steve-O, and he joins us in studio coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And then don't forget, we got your tickets for Radiohead at the Shrine next hour as well. We'll be asking you to sing your favorite Radiohead song. It's Listeroki. That's coming up. Hey, Allie.
Hey, Bean.
Want to do some showbiz?
Sure. I don't know if you would ever believe this, but dating Taylor Swift might be hurting Tom Hiddleston's career.
What?
I know. I know.
I feel like we all knew that instantaneously.
I feel like we all believe it. But now there might be some proof. Apparently, the Daily Mail is saying that bigwigs over at Armani took him out of consideration to become their next high-profile underwear model due to his, quote, embarrassing relationship with Taylor.
What do you think they mean by that?
It means that Taylor Swift is the devil? What do you think that's means?
I know that's an easy thing for you to say, but realistically, what do you think this company means by that when they,
Satan?
When they say it?
I think maybe they think Taylor's
tainted. Are they just afraid
that
there's going to be some sort of blow up, like some bad publicity down the road that they just don't want to be a part of or something?
Of course.
Yeah.
You know what they mean, Bean. Come on.
But I don't really, like, when I think of Armani, I was like, okay, he looks great in suits, Bondish. But this was for their high-profile underwear ads. Mm. I don't think of him in underwear. Is that weird? Am I missing, like, a hunky Tom Hiddleston?
You might be.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay. You can picture him in underwear?
All the time.
All right.
You know what I'm saying.
I'd like to hear it more. Go on. What's happening? Speaking of creepy, Bean, when I say this name, what do you think?
All right.
Zac Efron.
Delightful.
Yeah.
Talented. Mm-hmm. Smart.
Yes.
Right.
Adorable. Seems like the nicest guy in the world. What am I missing? What's the proper response?
You called him your sweet baby Zach once.
My sweet
Zach. Remember that?
Zach. I'm a fan and have been since the first High School Musical, sure.
Well, then, oh, yeah. Okay.
Bean, you said watch parties.
Why do you bring up Zach? He's become quite a reliable movie star.
Kevin, it seems to be getting louder. I feel like...
What?
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
My bad.
You will be very sad about the story because it seems that he can't find a date.
I know that rubs people the wrong way a lot, but I can see it. If you're too famous,
right?
It doesn't matter who you are. If you're too famous, it feels like sort of everyone is either a fan or infatuated with your fame,
right?
In some way, it would be
this made me sad because he says a date would have to be very long to dispel whatever people think about me. So people are going in with these misconceived notions, and he feels like he's constantly at battle trying to convince people he's not, you know, just this hot-looking dude. He actually has a brain.
He's been
who cares about, but... I mean, what?
We've heard that from a lot of celebrities over the years.
Yeah.
Where they just say, you can't have a regular, normal conversation with somebody because they already think they know you.
Well, according to UK's The Times, he said he even signed up for Tinder... But no one would swipe on him because everyone thought it was fake.
Of course. If you saw Zac Efron on Tinder, you would totally think it's fake.
Absolutely not. And how many guys are now putting Zac Efron as their picture on Tinder?
I don't know. It doesn't seem to work. So probably few.
I would think. Maybe. By the way, Muggs instant messages me that he's ready to switch teams after meeting Zac on the set of Mike and Bean Need Wedding Dates.
Really?
He's all in, yeah.
I get it. Absolutely.
Yummy.
This story came out yesterday, and I thought, wow, this is not something I want to see. But let me know if you guys are interested.
Okay.
Mel Gibson and Sean Penn are going to star in an upcoming movie called Professor and the Madman. It's about the creation of the Oxford English Dictionary.
You had me until dictionary.
Really? I had you with Mel Gibson and Sean Penn.
Well, it depends on what it is.
Those two on their own. No. Those two together. Yeah.
I could see that as well.
Okay. Well, the Hollywood Reporter says Mel will play...
At least they're spicing it up with the dictionary angle.
I know. Sexy. Mel will play Professor James Murray, who compiled the listings for the dictionary back in 1857. You love old-timey stories, so you're so in.
Bean's in love with this guy already.
And Sean Penn would play Dr. W.C. Minor, who submitted more than 10,000 entries, but he was also an inmate at an asylum for the criminally insane. Hmm.
Look.
They can make... You get the right people involved, they make a good movie about anything.
Sure.
So if you'd have told me they were going to make a movie about a king who stuttered, I would have said, that's not a movie. But The King's Speech was a great movie. Just as an example that comes to mind. This one could be good, too.
Yes, it could.
Mel Gibson and Sean Penn together?
They're both good actors. Look, personally, they've got problems. You maybe you wouldn't want to, you know, hang out with them, but they're really both very good actors.
I would not want to hang out
no,
with them.
No, either of them.
That is correct.
No.
Patriots Tom Brady is 39 today. Chauncey McGinley is 57.
Our equipment guys did a great job of breaking the balls. To me, they're perfect. I don't want anyone touching the balls after that. I don't want anyone rubbing them. To me, those balls are perfect.
How are you that quick?
He loves balls. That's what we know.
I tried getting it in. Quicker. What? Martin Sheen is 76. Martha Stewart is 75. Actor John C. McGinley is 57. Metallica singer James Hetfield is 53.
Darkness imprisoning me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
Wow, he sounds good.
Wow.
That was me.
Never better.
You got, oh, okay. Yes, it was him. Mm-hmm. Hannah Simone is 36. Actress Evangeline Lilly is 37. And shout out and happiest of birthdays to our friend, Mr. Jonah Ray.
All right.
Yay! Jonah Ray,
why
it's your birthday.
Why does Dave hate Jonah Ray? Did not put him on the list earlier today.
I don't know. I had to get a DM on Twitter. Like, hey, it's my birthday too.
That's not my fault.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh,
Jonah
fault.
Ray, happy, happy, happy birthday. We love you. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, welcome to Showbiz Beat.
Got very formal in here for a moment when Steve-O arrives and Kevin said, welcome, Mr. O. Like, there's some people you just don't think of as grown-up that need to have a mister in front of them.
No, I was being funny.
You're just Steve-O for life, man.
That's right, man. You know, I was thinking about the first time.
Get a little closer to your mic there, Steve.
First time I ever came in here was a long, long time ago, and I was just barefoot and drunk.
Listen, that was many times. There were so many times when you came in and your pants were undone. You were a mess.
Yeah,
and when it started getting bad, we really started getting concerned and sad. Like, we love this guy.
Yeah.
And he's destroying himself. We sort of got bummed. And then you turned it all around, and now it's awesome. That's why I call you Mr. O.
Well, thanks,
respect.
Man.
That's right. It's respect.
Yeah, Steve-O, how long have you been sober now?
8 years.
8 years?
Wow.
Come on.
Everybody,
come on. Especially for a guy like you with your past, with friends like yours, it seems like it
even
would be harder.
Even with my present.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Agreed. It just seems like you would probably have a harder time than most people.
Right. Well, hey.
You don't look at it that way, though, huh?
I don't. It's the same things that everybody does if they want to sort of go down that path. No big deal.
Did you at any point fall off the wagon, or were you, as soon as you did it, you've been solid?
For the last 8 years, I've not fallen
off
the wagon.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Yep. Well, thank you.
Did you have to cut a lot of people out of your life, Steve?
You know, when you get serious about sobriety, the people who aren't, like, aren't your friends, I guess, fall away. Like, I mean, just, like... I don't know.
They used to hang with you because you were fun because you did drugs or drank. And then
you become very uninteresting to people, you know, who want to get loaded all the time.
That aren't your true friends as well,
right,
I would
exactly.
imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that is behind you, and we're very proud of you, Steve, because
we
love you, and it's always great to have you. We're always excited. You were last in for your Showtime comedy special, Guilty as Charged.
That's
that was in the spring. And now you are bringing your comedy to the Brea Improv this week, right? Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the Improv.
That is exactly right, man. I got a whole new show. I'm so thrilled with it. And it's the Brea Improv this weekend. My Showtime comedy special really did well, too. And thank you guys for helping me promote that.
Of course. What was the
funny?
What's the process like for you coming up with a whole new act? Because some comedians say it's a year of just brutal work, and some say it just sort of naturally happens pretty quickly.
It came fairly quickly. I mean, I was sort of sensitive to the idea of preparing way ahead of time. You know, as soon as I taped the special... You know, long before it ever came out, I was already just diving into, you know.
So that was your plan?
Right.
Take the special. It's not going to come out for a couple of months, but I'm going to start writing now.
Absolutely.
So I have something else.
Because whenever you try new stuff, it's not necessarily gonna work. And if you find yourself trying something that's not working, it's really helpful to be able to sort of dip into a bag of stuff that you know you can rely on that's always going to work great. Mm-hmm. And so it was important for me to do that while the special was in post-production before it came out, so that I had that to fall back on But then when it actually came out, then, you know, sort of phase it out by that time.
Right.
So, yeah. I've been,
you still light yourself on fire?
Not in comedy clubs as much. I mean, I have no problem with doing that.
Right.
But I just...
They don't like the fire so much?
I mean, I don't know.
Great White just ruined it for everybody, didn't it?
Oh,
no, you remember when he did the foolishness. They said, no fire. And we were like, oh, yeah. Absolutely, you're right. And Steve-O said, I'm going to light myself on fire. And we're like, of course.
Oh, my God. I got, like, I'm so sensitive about Great White jokes. Like, No. Like, I got in trouble for telling one at the Charlie Sheen roast. I remember,
who takes what you say so seriously?
At a roast.
I know, but here was the joke, right? I reached out to a few people. I'm like, yo, you know, like, I'm doing the Charlie Sheen roast. If you guys have any ideas, send them my way. And this one guy, Gino Bisconti, this just terrible person, he sends me this joke. He says, look at the dais and you know, all the panel of roasters and say, God, who are all these people? The last time this many nobodies got roasted, at least Great White was playing.
By the way,
I was like, no, dude, I will not say that. But then I mentioned it to Jeff Ross. He's like, dude, that's hilarious. You have to do it. You have to do it.
Right.
And we were going around.
And not the most offensive thing said that night. Really?
Right.
I mean, it's fit.
We were going around doing, like, the Comedy Store, the Laugh Factory, just sort of, like, trying it out. And like, the people laughed so hard at that joke. And then
Because it's truly horrible.
It's so bad.
And that's why it's funny.
I know. It's just really, like, I don't know.
So you got a lot of trouble for that?
I kind of did. I mean, they edited it out of the show, but the thing was that there was, like, an Entertainment Weekly writer there and sort of kind of logging the jokes they heard, and they posted it on entertainmentweekly.com, and, like, the whole state of Rhode Island just hates me now.
Yeah, but
I mean,
that's 40 people.
It's,
it is a small
it's
state.
Strange to have a state hate you.
It really is, man. And it's just kind of not my style, you know? Like, I'm more like the crazy guy who's led the crazy life and who's, right. like, genuinely reckless. And
you don't say things to shock just to say things to shock.
I'm not really into hurting other people.
Right.
You know? I'm, like, I'm more about hurting myself. But
exactly. Now, Steve-O, I wanted to ask you this. And, again, if you're just joining us, our friend Steve-O in studio with us, Brea Improv. He's playing there tomorrow night, also Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Tickets available at improv.com. Just $25, 18 and up. You'll have a great time at a Steve-O show.
Oh, I will not waste your time this week.
I know you are. I remember when you first came in and told us years ago that, hey, I'm going to start doing comedy. And I thought, man, that is a bold and brave undertaking. Is this something that you had ideas of much earlier in your life and then finally got around to it? Or did you literally get to a point where you're going, okay, I'm not really doing the Jackass thing anymore. I need a job. What can I do? And you just kind of created comedy out of whole cloth. As a way to go.
Well, thank you for the kind words, and I appreciate it. B, let's see here.
How did it happen?
It wasn't ever that I stopped doing the Jackass stuff. I mean, I'm still, like, really, you know, putting life and limb on the line, like, fairly regularly.
Right.
But
it wasn't that... you weren't making TV shows and movies at a certain point.
Right.
You're still making videos and whatnot, but you wanted something else to do. I'm just wondering how you settled on comedy. Is it something you always kind of had in your back pocket?
The first time I tried stand-up, I got invited to the Laugh Factory here in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Someone was just like, man, dude, I want you to get on stage and do a crazy stunt. I was like, yeah, sure, you know, whatever. This was 2006, 10 years ago.
Wow.
And I was like, yeah, sure, man. I didn't give it any thought, and I walked in, and I just thought, there's nothing I can think of in the world that would be crazier of a stunt than me getting on that stage and just trying to do stand-up, you know.
But wait, you hold it. So you
that
said,
was my stunt for the night.
Right, but you didn't give it a second thought? Like, it didn't...
Oh, I was terrified. I was utterly terrified.
Okay.
That was what compelled me to do it.
Okay.
And my experience was that when I got on stage, the people were, excited to see me, and they were, like, interested in what I had to say. I felt that they were rooting for me. And, you know, I just kind of winged it for a few minutes, and it really kind of just went well. And I scheduled my return before I left that night.
How many people say the first time they tried comedy sort of went well?
Well, I mean...
Only liars.
Trust me, my like second and third. One of my second time was actually pretty good. My third time was the worst. My fourth time even worse than that.
Oh no!
Because what happened?
If the third time is your worst, then how is the fourth time even worse than that?
Well, I guess. Okay. Good point.
No, but let me ask you a question.
Right.
You think that it didn't go so well that, I mean, it went relatively well. Because
I was only on stage for just like a few minutes. I didn't do more than like 3 minutes.
And people love you. So I would imagine they're in the audience. They're rooting for you. They want it to work. Right? They're not against you.
That's been my experience. Yeah. And what happened when I walked in the door and I decided to do that, I had all this time to wait around for my turn. I mean, I was sitting in that club for like, I don't know, probably an hour before it was my turn to get on stage. And I just spent that whole time just racking my brain like, oh, what am I going to say? Like, I remember what my first joke was, too, but I don't know if I can really say it on the air.
Well, why don't you tell it to us while we take a break?
Okay.
And then we'll decide whether you can say it on the air or not.
Did Gino give it to you?
No. Okay.
It's too bad.
Like, how do you refer to oral stimulation?
Yeah, I feel like we can talk about this during
take
the break.
Take it off the air. Yeah, I think so. Steve-O is here. Brea Improv Thursday. Send to improv.com. More in a moment right after this on K-Rock. Our guest in studio this morning contains multitudes. The stories you hear when you hang out with Steve-O.
Yeah.
You've already written a book, right, Steve-O? That's done.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Did the book.
New York Times bestseller. And on Amazon, the average rating for it is a full 5 out of 5 stars. No partial stars.
Come on.
That's all of them put together.
Wow. Nice.
I know.
Brea Improv starting tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, and then 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday. And then Sunday, you can see Steve-O. Tickets are on sale at improv.com. Before the break, you were checking
right.
with us on the language for the first ever joke that you told on stage.
The first ever joke I got on stage, I said, "Hey, everybody, I'm in the mood for a BJ. Does anybody want one?"
Yeah! Kids love it.
It was just a stupid thing.
Yeah, maybe better.
And a comedy career was born.
That got me off to a good start. What can I say? And I was on stage for just a few minutes, and I had a favorable experience. And as it's developed, I've certainly capitalized on my experience in life. The crazier stories.
You have the greatest stories, and
really
they seem
do.
To be endless.
They really are. And during the break, I asked you, I was like, did I ever tell you guys about that time with Steve Wozniak, who, of course, invented the computer?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
right?
The founder of Apple,
right?
That guy.
The founder of Apple Computers. And I'm so glad that you're not familiar with this story because I love it. I was on Dancing with the Stars. Steve Wozniak was another contestant. And I had hurt my back, and I told him, my back hurts and my backpack's too heavy. I'm thinking about buying a MacBook Air. And so Steve Wozniak tells me, well, I'll go with you to the Apple store, and you can use my 10% employee discount.
Wait.
This is so classic.
Wait, first.
Now, wait, were you – did you think he was joking?
I could sense that he was genuine. Absolutely.
Okay, why is his discount only 10%?
Well, that's the thing. Like, when you're – Steve Wozniak, I understand. I think you're a billionaire. I don't know.
He's a
billionaire.
He has got a great deal of money, and so I mean, it's almost like, to assume, oh, he's just going to give me money.
Oh no,
so
no, I meant why is his discount 10%? I feel like his should be 50, if not 80%.
I don't know. I just think that what it is that he's got like a distinct sort of boundaries. He's got boundaries and self-respect. Like when we went out to dinner, we went with a large group of people to dinner, and rather than let anybody just assume that because he's got lots of money that he's going to pay for the check,
right.
He says, he announced it to the table. He says, because I'm the one who picked the restaurant, I'm going to pay. He made that distinction. He said, whoever picks the restaurant
is the
one who picks up the tab, not just whoever's got $1 billion.
Did you mock him? For only having a 10% discount.
I did not.
Why?
I did not mock him whatsoever. I thought it was hilarious.
I don't mean to be mean to him, but seriously, dude, you only get 10% off?
But the story gets even better.
Okay, go ahead.
So now I met him up at the Grove.
Uh-huh.
Did
he get recognized on the street? Do people know who he is?
Well, that's the thing, And we're like, we had a little bro date with Segways. We rode Segways together.
That's the best date ever. All right.
And we took his Segway photo.
Can I guess how that can I guess that you were recognized way more than him?
Yeah.
Yes.
Big, big time. This is how it happened in the Apple store. I decided because the MacBook Air, I mean, this is, it didn't have a disk drive, but whatever. I picked up my computer.
Right.
It wasn't MacBook Air.
Right.
But Steve Wozniak calls one of the sales employees. He says, oh, this is my friend. He's going to get this computer. He's going to use my employee discount. This Apple employee at the Grove store looks at Steve Wozniak in the eye and says, but are you an Apple employee? he doesn't recognize him at all.
Oh,
and
no.
Steve Wozniak's like, not, in the most like not arrogant, like genuinely humble way, he shakes his head like giddily. He says, yeah, my employee, my my Apple employee number is 1. It was the, like, I mean, it was the coolest thing
That's
ever.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That is a mic drop moment, man. That's fantastic.
Tell me about a guy who has $1 billion but is not affected by it at all.
He, like, I mean,
how many people are like that?
I haven't been, like, in contact with him really very recently.
Well, I don't see you having a lot in touch with him, in common with him.
Right. But he's, I remember just, like, so excited that he got his Prius to, you know, his Prius was getting more than 50 miles per gallon. That was like the biggest news he wanted to share with me.
That's fantastic.
Yeah,
Steve.
I just love the guy.
What was the look on the employee's face when Steve Wozniak told him that?
He must have thought he was kidding. The number was one.
That's funny. I don't remember there being like a very noticeable sort of reaction or moment of
well, he held it together then because that's a great moment.
He held it together for
all
sure.
All right, we have to ask
number
about
is one. One more thing, Steve-O. And again, this is Steve-O on the Kevin Bean Show, Brea Improv, Thursday through Sunday. Get your tickets, improv.com. Great show, 18 and up. I asked Dave, our producer, in fact, to call you a couple weeks ago, and then he said, oh, no, Steve's coming in anyway, so wait and ask him then. This video that you put up on your page the other day
right.
with the you had this woman come over to your house with enormous boobs.
Right.
And I bring that up not to be coarse, but because it's relevant, because then you proceeded to do what with her?
Well, see, I love doing amazing trick shots. They're popular on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I personally enjoy, even if it takes hours to get one to work,
right.
I just love the process.
And these are the guys who throw a basketball against a barn wall, and then it hits the car, and then hits the dog, and then ends up in the basket.
There's
it hits a dog?
Well, whatever.
You weird go-to.
There's all kinds of different amazing trick shots. Now, I came across a sort of Instagram celebrity. She goes by the handle Darth Lux.
Okay.
And you know, as someone I follow posted a thing with the, you know, and I saw her profile, and it was like, it's pretty incredible. This like, she gives you just about nothing you don't want and everything you do want, you know? It's like she's pretty much the best person to follow on Instagram. And
okay.
And then I just had a moment of a blast of creativity. I had like that eureka moment. I jumped out of the bathtub, you know? I thought, wow. And I just sent this woman an unsolicited direct message saying, I think that two of the most popular things in the world are glorious boobs and amazing trick shots. And I think if we combine the two, we may have the most loved video on the internet. This is exactly what I wrote to her. And she says, ha ha, I love it. What's your idea? And I told her, I want to bounce a rubber bouncy ball through impossible paths and have it land in your cleavage. You know, like,
right. And how did she respond to that?
She loved the idea.
Okay.
And so I spent like about a week mapping out different impossible, amazing trick shots in my house. She came over and we did it.
Like, how many? What was
I was
you
so
did it?
Ready.
Then did you shoot the video?
No. I didn't know. Like, actually, I mean, I played. I've got all like fake leather in my house. I don't have any leather, and so I've got like these vinyl sort of fake leather pillows on my couch.
Right.
And I put them together, simulating boobs, to sort of imagine how the rubber ball is going to land in them.
Okay.
And I really practiced it. Like, I took it.
So you were
seriously.
Prepped when she arrived.
I know. I still didn't know quite how the ball would. I didn't know like logistically how it would work.
Right.
As it turned out, it worked perfectly.
Yeah. With her, you could have used a basketball.
Right. It worked so perfectly.
What was your favorite or most impressive shot, do you think?
Absolutely.
The whole video was great.
Absolutely the last shot where it bounces down the stairs.
Down the stairs was crazy.
Like, impressive.
None of the shots in the video, except for the stairs, took more than I would say 10 or 20 minutes.
Really?
The stairs took like probably an hour and a half.
Oh, my
Maybe, somewhere between an hour and a half.
So and, just over and over and over again.
But did you get it one time and you go, let's just get it another time for a backup?
So you couldn't go home?
With at least three of the other shots, I wasn't quite satisfied with it.
Right,
because I didn't want to make sure. I wasn't interested in a lot of backboard. I just wanted it to land right in the cleavage.
You can see this video that we're talking about. It's at the Kevin and Bean Roundup on Internet Roundup on KevinandBean.com.
And when I posted it on, I knew it was going to be popular. I did not expect that on Facebook it would receive, the last I checked, 43.8 million views.
Oh, my.
Oh, wow.
43.8 million.
That's insane.
That is crazy.
But I just looked up her Instagram. She's got a million followers herself on Instagram.
She crossed a million while at my house after I posted a photo of us together.
Well, I hope you won't mind, Steve, if next time we just have her in and not you.
Hey, man. Is that cool? For it.
That's where it's headed.
You know what? That would not hurt my feelings in the slightest, and you guys are dear friends of mine.
It was a great video, Steve-O. You really did a tremendous job. It's really, really good.
I'll tell you, though, here's what I love the most about Steve-O, is that you were so giddy and genuinely happy.
Yeah, it's pure joy.
Every single time. Like, you could have done the same thing 100 times in a row, and the 100th time would have been just as great.
Oh, I loved it. And then I love making videos. I love doing silly things. And it's no different in my live show. I mean, really.
You bring her out?
I'm not going to bring her out. I'm not going to bring her out.
No, maybe you get upstage, though.
But, no, I'm just like, I'm just so thrilled with what I'm doing this weekend in Brad.
There's only room for one boob on that stage. Your fans are going to have a great time. You always bring it. Brea Improv, 6 shows this week. Do not miss this opportunity to see the great Steve-O on stage tomorrow night, and then 2 shows Friday, 2 shows Saturday, and then on Sunday as well. Tickets available at improv.com. You know we love you, man. It's always great to have you on the show.
I love you guys, too. It's Thursday through Sunday this weekend, and just as always, I still do the meet and greet with the whole audience after. Everybody wants to get a photo, gets one.
That's great. That's
I love it. I love you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
You bet.
Always happy to have you.
Got a pair of tickets for you to see Radiohead at the Shrine Auditorium. They are playing tomorrow. They are also playing next Monday, and you can win them if you can sing them. 1-800-520-1067. It's time for Listener Oki.
Listener Oki, Listener Oki. That's the game we're going to play. Listener Oki.
Listener Oki is always tough, but for Radiohead?
Yeah, would sing like Tom York?
Even tougher, I would imagine, right? All right, like you said, Kevin, we'll pick the best, or we'll take a drawing if it's too close to call. If there's no runaway favorite, then we'll just make it a drawing. So where do you want to start? Who do you like?
Let's
who do you feel good about?
With Daniel in Los Angeles. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. Welcome to Listener Oki. You're going to sing what song?
Creep.
Creep.
And you're going to sing this on the phone for many, many thousands of people. Not that I want you to be nervous, but think about that.
Yep, I got it.
Okay, all right, good luck.
All right. I don't care if it hurts. I want to have control. I want a perfect body. I want a perfect show. I want you to notice when I'm not around.
All right, thank you, Neil Diamond.
I was trying to place who he was doing. It was a little loungy, but also a little aggressive. All right, that is Daniel and Creep. Let's try Christian up next in Ontario, line 2. Let's see what Christian's got.
Hey, Christian.
Hey, guys.
We're doing Listener Oki. What song are you going to sing by Radiohead?
Optimistic.
Optimistic. Here's Christian.
And how are you feeling about this performance? Are you feeling
Bean? Oh, go right to hell. Christian, just
go. I'm going to show myself out.
All right, ready?
Yep.
All right. Lines up buzz around my head, virtual circling a dead, picking up every last crumb.
All right, thank you. Hold on.
There's really only one Tom York, isn't there?
Look, we knew this was going to be difficult because it's tough to sing like him. Jennifer in Irvine, hi.
Hi there.
Are you ready to sing Radiohead?
Yes.
Okay.
Don't leave me high. Don't leave me dry. I'm so nervous I can't breathe.
Okay.
I don't remember that part of the lyrics. Okay, it was only two lines, but it was good. Okay, thank you, Jennifer. Please hold on. Let's try Andy. El Segundo, please. Line 5.
Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. We're doing Listener Oki. What song are you going to sing by Radiohead?
Karma Police.
All right. Here's Andy with Karma Police.
Karma Police, arrest this man. He talks in mess. He buzzes like a fridge. He's like a teeth.
All right.
Radio.
All right.
I feel like we got the...
You hold on.
Just... Hey, let's try another Karma Police. Arian is on line 6, please. He's Montclair.
Okay. Arian, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Very good, thank you. You're going to do Karma Police as well?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay, can you do it better than the last guy?
I will try my darndest.
Here we go.
All right. Karma Police, arrest this man, he talks in math. He buzzes like a fridge, he's like a deep
tune. All right, the phone's ringing, there's nothing. I know it's great. Come on,
nothing
Bean,
you have the least.
Let them sing.
You have the least patience of anyone in the world.
I heard enough.
How about Daniel, line 8? He's listening to us via the stream, I think, in Palm Springs, in the Palm Springs area.
Okay. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, thank you. What song are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing There, There by Radiohead.
Okay. Good luck.
In pitch dark, I go walking in your landscape. Broken branches in my way.
All right, you hold on.
This is tough, man. This is hard. We had another creep, Joe Laverne, line 4.
All right, let's go to Joe. This is going to make a difference.
Another creep.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, good morning.
You're going to sing Creep as well.
You got it.
All right, here we go. Good luck.
But I'm a creep. I'm a widow. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. Oh, oh.
Oh, oh, oh.
Oh,
no, no. Let's
running out the wall.
You gotta let him get to the high parts, Bean. Joe just nailed it.
Why are you such a dick?
God!
Stop it!
I hate you so much.
Oh, you're
painful.
Stuck.
Look, I will recuse myself.
Okay, good.
I am not, apparently I am not fit to judge
today.
So I'm going to let y'all decide. We had Daniel with Creep, Christian with Optimistic, Jennifer with High and Dry. Joe was the most recent Creep. Then we had two Karma Polices from Andy and Arian. They were both terrible. And another Daniel with There There, who I actually liked a lot.
All right.
So whatever you guys decide, I'll...
We're doing a drawing.
Because
everybody was pretty much equal.
I just did the drawing and got excited because it's Joe.
Joe.
Yay!
Joe.
Yeah.
You got the tickets.
That's so awesome. Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited.
Enjoy the show.
Tell your voice.
Thanks for playing the game.
Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. Thanks for playing our game. Listen to Roki. Listen to Roki. You suck and we're lame.
I feel like that was a little better than
that's
the
how it's supposed to be done.
Roki.
That's my point.
Right.
Is Tom York. He sings it the way it's supposed to be done.
Right.
Not so much with everyone else.
Right. But, I mean, we knew that going in. That's
right.
Why we did the game, because it's impossible to sing like Tom York.
At least Bean cut him off before they actually got to the high parts that would have been
best. I was the bad.
To.
I was the bad person in that.
You were.
I mean,
yeah, that
you really
was me.
Were.
You were.
Hey, what if we moved on and forgot that ugly chapter in our nation's history, and Allie filled in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning Kevin DeBean show?
You know when you're at the airport and you're sitting there and then you realize, wait, my plane has left. Has that ever happened to anyone in this room? Because I feel like maybe Kevin
How
numerous
dare you?
Times.
No, I've missed flights many times.
Yeah.
But I'm not sitting right at the gate waiting for it.
Yeah, you're still trying to get to the gate.
Right.
Or get through security or something like
you're
that.
Late.
You're not already
You get
there.
To the airport late. You're stuck in security. But
sure.
I don't trust one word Vanilla Ice says.
Yeah,
not
Vanilla
one
Ice
word.
Is saying that he was just sitting there, sitting right there at Delta, and all of a sudden the plane was gone. But in this audio, listen... For the man that kind of chimes in with his own little tidbit of helpful advice.
Sitting in the freaking line right here. I'm thinking all these people are in line to board. I'm behind them right here.
gotta watch the monitor, dude. Hey, I don't need any information from you, man. Shut your Shut your mouth. I don't need anything from you. You don't work here. Shut up.
Gotta watch the monitor, dude. I love him so much.
By the way, he's right.
He's totally right.
And B, they always make, what, 10 announcements?
At least. Come on.
Sitting right there.
How did he not notice that he was at one time sitting there with 200 other people in the waiting area, and then after a while, he was the only person left?
Even if he had his headphones on, he was listening, whatever. There's no way, unless he was asleep, there's no way to miss that.
Yeah.
He's a dick.
All right. Kevin has ruled. Mm-hmm. Okay. Not a dick, Matthew McConaughey. We've all seen those Lincoln ads.
Pretty tired of those.
Yeah, we're over them.
He just stares into the distance for 30 seconds, and then they...
Well, what if I told you this? Sure, he's been the spokesperson since 2014, but now he has just signed a multi-year contract to write, direct, and appear in brand new ads for... Drumroll, please. Wild Turkey.
Yay!
Oh, the kids love the Wild Turkey.
Kids love Wild Turkey.
It's their favorite.
But don't you think these ads are going to be amazing if it's something like Wild Turkey as opposed to a car where he's like, man, I'm boring.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
I would hope so. But he scares me a little bit.
He
seems to just be that guy that just always does that same thing.
He's just a little too chill for you?
Yeah.
You can't be chill on Wild Turkey.
Yeah,
though.
Well, maybe
you can't.
He should drink it first before he does the ads.
Oh.
Kevin, did you watch him on True Detective?
I did.
He was
and
great.
And he was great on that, yes.
He was great.
I think it's just the commercials that annoy me.
Right.
Okay.
Give him the breathalyzer!
I want that to be said after the commercials, and then we'll know it was good.
Okay, good. Well, we will be waiting for those.
Okay.
There is a short 6-minute film for the company on YouTube, which already has over 81,000 views so far. So if you want to check out a little tidbit of his Wild Turkey ads, you can check that out on YouTube. You can now add Leonardo DiCaprio to the list of Hillary Clinton fans. He's hosting a Democratic fundraiser for Hillary on August 23rd. However, you won't get in unless you you pay, obviously. It's a fundraiser. How much do you think per person they would charge for this?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
That is correct, Kevin.
$10,000.
A little more. Bean?
I'm sorry. Did you say the candidate was there or just Leo?
It just says hosting a Democratic fundraiser for Hillary. I assume she's
there, that's where the money kicks up. Because that way they can charge, you know, $50,000 for a photo or something. I'm going to say it's $100,000 to get into that event.
Wow.
Wow.
No. This one is $33,400 per person.
Okay.
But that's just to get in the door. So that might not be a dinner. That might not be a picture.
You can't
that
talk
might
to anyone
be,
or sit down.
You can't look at anyone.
Absolutely no using the bathroom.
Yeah. Oh, no.
How did they get $33,400? Why not just go $33,000?
It is weird. But $2,700 goes directly to the Clinton campaign, the rest to the Democratic National Committee, plus state and local parties. So she really doesn't get much of that.
Yeah.
I feel like I'd charge more. I'd want more.
Than $33,000
yeah,
a person?
Yeah, if that was me, sure.
All right.
I'd want more. What?
I just feel like there's something, and I know it's legal and everybody does it. I just feel like there's something criminal with our system that anyone is paying $33,000 to get in a room with a candidate.
How dare you besmirch our political system?
I just feel like the people who need to be talking to that candidate are the people who can't afford to get into that room. And
I love politics and I love politicians, and you're being very offensive.
Well, I don't think it's a Q&A at any of these. You're not actually talking to the candidate. You're staring at them and you're, you know.
I know, but I don't like it.
That's it.
My point is I don't like it.
I guess the audience couldn't
they
see
couldn't
that hand,
see the hand signal, but,
that's all it is.
Yeah.
Is a...
yeah. But I assume that most of these people aren't us. Like, for them, I assume the people that will show
nothing.
Up, $33,000 doesn't really
it's
make
nothing.
That big a difference.
But don't you think the reason you pay that, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but the reason
too
you
late.
Pay that is because you want to whisper into her ear, hey, coal mining is great, or whatever it is, whatever your issue
is. No, that
is.
Doesn't
you know what I
get
mean?
Done at these events.
No, okay.
What they're going for is to post on their Instagram or their Facebook that they were there and to be part of Hillary's team. That's it.
Okay. First thing that came to your mind was coal mining
it
is
did.
Great.
It did.
Am I Mr. Bad Example or am I not Mr. Bad Example?
You are.
That was pretty good, though.
You are.
I liked it. We all love Christopher Guest movies.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
The dog one.
Best in show.
Best in show.
I am a Waiting for Guffman.
Love
gal.
It, too.
What about you, Bean?
I think, well, those are my two favorites.
Okay.
But, yeah, Waiting for Guffman, if I had to pick just one, that's the best.
Yeah. Well, Christopher Guest's new movie that he wrote with a man named Jim Pittock, who is he's the guy from Best in Show that was Fred Willard's announcer.
Oh, yeah.
The co-announcer.
Love
he's
him.
Amazing.
Yeah.
They have a new comedy called Mascots, and the latest film stars all of the regular troupe of actors, Jane Lynch, Parker Posey, Fred Willard, Ed Begley Jr., and it takes place in an ultra-competitive world of sports mascots where they compete for the most prestigious award in their field, the Gold Fluffy. Well, we've been hearing about this. Brad Williams has a role in it. We can't wait to see if he made it in. But we will find out October 13th. That's the global premiere on Netflix. So mark your calendars. Mascots, October 13th.
That sounds great.
I cannot wait for that. Cannot wait. All of these celebrities are enjoying their birthday today. Jonah Ray, we love him. We don't know how old he is, but timeless.
He's like
timeless.
22.
Timeless. L.A. Rams running back Todd Gurley is 22. Tom Brady is 39. Evangeline Lilly is 37.
Hold on a second. We weren't done with Tom Brady.
We are.
I think Ben Affleck has a comment.
No!
I think it is the ultimate bullshitting outrage of sports ever. It's so stupid.
Right. Leave Tom Brady alone, right?
Right?
I don't need him.
You don't want Donald Trump on your side, do you?
I don't want
on
that.
Anything.
Ryan Lochte is 32. Martha Stewart is 75. Martin Sheen is 76. And one of my favorite people, Metallica singer James Hetfield, he is 53.
Oh, did you want it again?
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I didn't have a heads
see
up.
That coming.
Here it is.
Stop this. Impersonating me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
Never sounded better.
She's good. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 9:38.
And I think we got time for one more look at the showbiz beat in for Ralph Garman.
Here's Allie McKay.
We all fell in love with Alicia Vikander in The Danish Girl. She won an Oscar. Amazing.
Yep.
Ex Machina.
Yeah, I fell in
well,
love
that's
with
when you fell in love with her.
Well, because she was a robot. Girl.
Well, of course.
I came in and I told Bean about that movie. Ex Machina, A, it's great, but B, it involves sex with a robot. And he had seen it like an hour after I recommended it. I've never seen him move faster.
Look, it was relevant to my interest.
Sure. Well, you might fall even more in love with her because remember when we talked about that story, there was a phone number that you can call and ask a Swede. And it was an actual Swedish person that would give you, you know, tips if you were going to go visit there. It was all about tourism. And,
right.
And you could engage with that person. Well, she is indeed Swedish, but she thought she would call and ask a Swede about meeting her, but was not telling them that it was actually her. We've got some tape.
Calling Sweden.
Do you know who Alicia Vikander is?
Yeah, sure.
I really, really want to meet her.
What, so you think I know her just because we're from the same country?
It's not a very big country, right?
No, it's not that big, but, I mean, there's 10 million people here. Oh. I don't know 10 million people. Well, I'm sorry, I can't really help you, but
okay.
I wish you good luck with
well,
that.
Thank you. Okay.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
Swedish people are dicks.
I feel like maybe she got sassed by that Swede. I
what
didn't
the
like
hell?
It.
I thought Swedish people were all nice.
Right.
I think if you're on the receiving end of that call and you don't know it's Alicia Vikander calling you, you think it's a pretty dumb question.
Right.
Because,
but
like she pointed out, there are 10 million people in the country.
Right. But she could have said, you know, there's a lot of people. And if she could have said it nicely.
Well, I know now that I'm happy how to pronounce her name. I said Alicia Vikander. And
right.
She said, this is Alicia Vikander.
Mm. All right.
And not in that accent at all, either.
Not at all, okay.
She's so adorable, though.
What about as a robot?
She's awesome as a robot.
Yeah.
This is awful news. Funny or Die has cut jobs. We all know Funny or Die. Great, great.
They didn't fire Will Ferrell, did they?
I don't think so, since he started it with Adam McKay and producer Chris Henchy. But they have reportedly cut 30% of its workforce and shut down one of its offices in Northern California. I know. So nearly 40 employees across three offices in San Mateo, L.A., and New York saw the job cuts. That's according to Variety. That's a bummer.
Yeah, that sucks.
If Funny or Die can't make it, who can make it? Because they pump out real quality.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. Speaking of real quality, Sharknado reviews are in. or just their ratings. The weakest since the first one. And the first one nobody really knew about, but then it started getting all of this hype. Like, did you guys see this piece of crap, Sharknado?
I think Twitter is what saved Absolutely. The first Sharknado, is because everybody started seeing it on Twitter and started watching it. And
yes.
then they ended up airing it again, and it did even better the second time around.
Yes, the highest ratings.
Am I the stupid one for being the one that watched the first one and loved it and tweeted about it?
It makes you Kevin.
You were just ahead of the curve, Kevin, that's all.
But couldn't be bothered for four.
Really? So you stopped at three?
Yeah.
Okay.
But four was this one.
That's yeah. the sequel to the sequel of the sequel to the greatest movie about sharks and tornadoes that's ever existed. Sharknado, The Fourth Awakens.
2.7 million viewers, down just slightly from the 2.8 million from Sharknado 3.
That trailer makes me want to see it.
Yeah?
But Kevin, don't.
So Bean saw it. I know, but I'm not positive we have the same appreciation of
that. No, but I think we enjoyed Sharknado for the same reasons. This one just had an even stupider storyline, and they just jam-packed it with cameos for the sake of cameos, and they were like Real Housewives and people like that all over it. It was just awful.
All right.
I think you should watch it.
Yeah, I'm okay without.
One name. Sam.
The Armenian comedian's in it?
No, I'm saying, like, you love him so much, and Bean hates him so much.
So maybe I'll
you
love...
couldn't be different.
Okay.
Okay.
All
right. But I love that you thought he could possibly be in Sharknado. Yeah. Ozzy Osbourne, this is news. We all know he went through a little hiccup.
And now, a breaking news bulletin.
Thanks, lady. He went through a little hiccup in his marriage. The pair separated in May, him and Sharon, because he was having an affair with that hairdresser. Well, now it turns out he is currently...
And now, breaking news bulletin.
Okay. He is currently undergoing intense therapy for sex addiction. So, I mean, that's...
Really?
Yeah.
Isn't he 75 years old or something?
I don't think addiction... cares how old you are.
But sex addiction, though, I would think just physically sex addiction would be a tough thing
well,
to
I mean,
pull off.
Do
you stop boning at 70? I think not.
I did.
Oh. Oh, God.
That was like 20 years ago, right?
Who is that?
So, funny story we'll tell you about sometime off the air. So, sex addiction for Ozzy. So, this hairdresser that got all the headlines, was that was not the only woman in the picture?
Well, it doesn't sound like it. I don't have any information, but I'm thinking.
Probably her, probably Becky with the good hair.
Right.
Really?
Yeah.
She gets around.
Sure.
All right. And if you are going to be watching the opening ceremonies Friday for the Olympics in Rio, you will notice... One of the most celebrated athletes in the history of the Olympics. He won 18 gold medals, 22 medals overall. His name is Michael Phelps. He will be the one carrying the United States flag during the opening ceremony. So that's quite an honor.
Sure. Hope he doesn't fall asleep.
You are mean.
He's dull.
I'm sure he is.
He's
but
super dull.
Have you seen him swim?
Yeah, he's good at swimming.
Real good.
Is he going to be swimming with the flag?
He will not.
Okay.
But he also won't be doing any interviews, which is where the dullness really, really shines.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. And if you are interested, as Bean is, in a movie about the creation of the Oxford English Dictionary, that's hard to say, you are in luck because Mel Gibson and Sean Penn are set to star in it. The Hollywood Reporter says Mel will play Professor James Murray. He compiled the listings for the dictionary back in 1857. And Sean will be playing Dr. W.C. Minor.
I don't care.
I don't either. He submitted more than 10,000 entries. But plot twist, he was also an inmate at an asylum for the criminally insane.
That's provocative, okay?
It is, Mel. That's it.
Shut up and take my money. Hell and f*** me, because I deserve it.
The guy said that for real.
Yeah, and people will pay to see his movie.
Yeah.
All of these stars were born today. August the 3rd, actor Martin Sheen is 76.
Best president we ever had.
He was not a real president.
He was not a president, Bean.
It was
the West Wing.
I remember
the show.
Just a TV show.
Television.
One of the best.
He was right TV after shows. The first George Bush and before Bill Clinton, if I remember correctly.
Nope. Martha Stewart, 75. John C. McGinley is 57. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, 39. Evangeline Dilly is...
Tom Brady.
Damn it. Evangeline Lilly is 37.
You, Tom Brady. You, Tom Brady. You, Tom Brady. I'm sorry, but that's your f***ing name.
That's my quality music there.
Hannah Simone is 36. Another riveting interview. Olympic swimmer Ryan Lochte is 32. Model Carly Kloss is 24. Our good friend Jonah Ray is celebrating a birthday today, as well as the lead singer of Metallica.
Darkness impersonating me. All that I see. Absolutely all that I cannot live. I cannot die.
Yeah. James Hetfield turns 53. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Allie. On your drive home today, listen to a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock. It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show, we have Dr. Drew on the program. We have Nick Finch. You may not have heard of his name, but he's the winner of the 2016 Audience Choice Star Wars Fan Film.
Wow.
Award. He made a fan film that was the best of all the fan films.
That's impressive.
David Harbour, who plays the sheriff on Stranger Things.
You going to be all right, Allie?
He's my favorite.
Somebody's got a crush.
I do. I love
the Museum of Presidential Hair tomorrow. And also your tickets to see Radiohead at the Shrine. We'll see you Thursday morning.